The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Isn't that a great promise? Well, today on Exploring the Word, we are going to go through a chapter that has some of the dearest, dearest promises of the entire Word of God, James chapter 4. This and many other great realities come from James chapter 4, so turn there, and we welcome you to the program. My name is Alex McFarlane. With me at the mic, Wesley Wildman. Good afternoon, my brother.
Good afternoon. It's exciting to be behind the mic here in the studio in Tupelo, Mississippi, doing it, spoiling the Word. You know, it's always a privilege and an honor to be able to fill in when you yourself or Brother Burt can't make it in. In the bullpen, I'm not always completely loose. It depends on how far in advance y'all give me a heads up. But I knew this whole week Brother Burt will be out of town doing a family revival. And so I'm grateful for the privilege and the opportunity to be a part of it, spoiling the Word. I've been a part of it in the past. And yeah, I'm excited about the book y'all are going through. The book of James is gives a lot of word pictures and very practical for your everyday life, for your Christian, Alex. So thank you so much for letting me be a part of it.
Well, thank you, Wesley. And hey, folks, Wesley Wildman deserves an award. I mean, you're great, and you bring a lot to the table when we go through the Word of God. And so what y'all don't know is, like, sometimes Bert is on the road preaching, and what I'm on the road preaching, and every now and then I'll get stuck in an airport. Sometimes Wesley has 5 days' notice that he's going to be needed on the show. Sometimes he has, I think, maybe 5 minutes' notice. But, brother, you're a trooper, and we just thank God for you. And so, folks, turn to James chapter 4, and we're going to get there. We've got some other things that we want to tell you about. In fact, folks, I'm coming to you from Richmond, Virginia. I'm at the Christian Counseling and Training Center in Richmond, and tonight I'll be speaking, and we want to make people aware of that. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. If you're in the Richmond area, I'll tell you the church I'll be at in just a moment. But Wesley, one of the things that we just pray for, we want people to vote, don't we?
Absolutely. Voting is just one of the most important stewardship models or roles for our born-again believer in the United States of America. I know we say this in passing, and it gets thrown as a cliche, but the reality is in other parts of the world, almost every other part of the world, there is no alternative to the leaders that are there. And so here in America, we have the privilege and the duty to vote. And so I just want to remind the people that are listening, the audience who may not be familiar with it, we have a 501c4 division called AFA Action. And on that website, we're asking you to go, you can register to vote there and you can pledge to vote there. We want to get that number up. It's very high. Unfortunately, one out of every four Christians actually exercise their right to vote. We've seen that in the past. It really hurts the cause of Christianity and in a Christian worldview to influence a culture if we don't leave our houses, leave our churches, and go exercise that right. So I know I may seem like I'm condemning those who haven't, and I want to encourage you, though, if you haven't, to get out there and register to vote. I want to give you a website. It's afaaction.net, and there you can register to vote. We want to get as many people registered and pledged to vote on that website as possible. That'd be a real encouragement to us here at AFR, and it'd be a real encouragement to the Christian community.
Well, amen. And we really do need to vote because it's a matter of stewardship. You know, God entrusts us things that we are to use for His honor and glory, and a vote, I mean, the ability to cast a ballot and to act on your convictions and try to be salt and light in the culture, try to promote things that are godly. And one of the things we need to really do, folks, is to realize that we have freedom of religious expression. What an honor. Not every country has that. But like Benjamin Franklin said that we love the fruits of freedom, but we have to tend the tree that bears the fruits. Mm-hmm. So through AFA Action, you can register to vote. I hope you will.
And I want
And church, I hope you'll vote.
I was going to say a couple things in closing remarks as we begin chapter 4. You know, in James chapter 2, it's all about how our actions are as a result of what lives in us. That is the faith that we have. And so as a result, we have an opportunity here. AFA's action, Rob Chambers is the director of it. They've done an outstanding job of giving you information on candidates to help you kind of filter through their weaknesses and their strengths. And so I know we're running crazy. A lot of us have dropping off kids at school. We're going to board meetings. We're truck drivers. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Well, we've done the research. We've done all the heavy lifting for you. On this website, there's a voter guide that filters through and gives you a very good, clear picture of what each candidate represents. And one last thing we've got to remember, though we are voting for a very, very big presidential election coming up, the most important thing is your state, local elections. Those are so huge, and we need to be involved in every level. So just a reminder there, thank you so much, Alex, for taking the time to mention that. That's AFAaction.net, voter guide, register and pledge there. And we're excited about talking about James chapter 2, about your actions. And now in James chapter 4, we're excited to talk about being careful of being consumed or being too close with the world. Is that right, Alex?
That's right. Worldliness. You don't hear that phrase a whole lot anymore. Preachers used to warn against being worldly. But remember, you know, we're to be conformed to the image of our Savior, our Lord, our leader, Jesus. And James 4 says this. It asks the question, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Do they not come hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Now, I grabbed my King James, so I'm going to do a little translating for you here, folks, so just hang with me. It says in verse 2, you lust and have not, you killed and desire to have, and could not obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So basically, we got the first three verses says, why is there struggle and stress and envy and fighting among you? Because you've got lustful desires. And, you know, Wesley, often we think of lust in terms of, you know, physical immorality, but there's other kinds of lust. Somebody rolls up in a brand new car and you just are envious and it galls you. And you think, who do they think they are riding around in that car? And you've got to, you know, keep up with the Joneses. There's a great promise in James 4, 2. It says, you have not because you ask not. In other words, we can pray and we can ask and receive the things that we need from God. But verse 3 cautions us, really, that the requests we make of God be the right things. Because God has promised to meet our needs, but not our greeds. And so we got to make sure that we don't have a lustful heart, don't we, Wesley?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's in just a couple of verses later, it talks about our hostility or our friendship with the world is enmity with God. I believe that's in verse 4 here. I'll read it for us. It says, your adulterers do not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Question mark. You know, here several times it asks rhetorical questions in order to try to jog our brains and make us think some. But a lot of times, we've got several new believers, I'm sure, listening to the program. And so when you read that, when I was my first year, I guess, or so of being a Christian, I read this and thought, what? You mean God doesn't want us to have friends with the world? That's not at all what it's saying there, not at all. In fact, God, requests and commands and desires for us to have friendships with other Christians, other born-again believers. What this is saying here, if you think about a friendship is nurtured, a friendship is taken care of, it's a time investment, it's spending time with them. And it's so if you think about that type of a friendship, we shouldn't have that type of a relationship with worldly matters, because that will ultimately lead to enmity with God. Isn't that right, Alex?
That's right. That's right. The Holy Spirit of God is in the heart of every believer, trying to guide you, trying to not only guide you in the ways of God, but we talked about yesterday in James 3:17 that as you let the Spirit guide you, you'll be truly wise, and there's purity, peace, gentleness, mercy, good fruits. But James 4 says, you know, on the other hand, if you let the flesh control you, you know, think about all of the things that well up within us, emotions like jealousy and resentment and spitefulness and backbiting and to hold a grudge and to be covetous. And, you know, those things, any of us can be prone to that kind of thing. And James 4 says, don't you know that friendship with the world is to be the enemy of God? Now, verse 5 says, do you not think the Scripture says, or do you think the Scripture says in vain that the Spirit dwells in us lusts to envy? Now, let me explain what the Word of God is saying here. The Holy Spirit of God is jealous for you. Now, not jealous in the bad sense, like we might commit jealousy, but it means with an overwhelming desire, God wants to lead you into the place of His will, the place of peace, of blessing, just inner tranquility and joy. And the Holy Spirit is gonna work hard to keep your eyes and your priorities focused on the things of the Lord. But see, why does the Holy Spirit of God, have such a wonderful, beautiful hold on our life? Because God knows that old fleshly nature doesn't give up without a fight. And that's why, you know, there was a Puritan writer named John Owen. And John Owen, he's probably been dead 400 years. But he asked this question. Do you mortify or do you put to death the things of the flesh? He said, every day, John Owen said, be killing sin or sin will be killing you.
Mm.
And that's why verse 5 says, does the Scripture say in vain that the Holy Spirit struggles for you? No, not in vain, but it literally means for a good purpose. God is working. Now, when you look at something you shouldn't be looking at, when you harbor a grudge that you really need to let go of, when you're materialistic or when you're lusting, the reason your conscience weighs so heavy on you when you're flirting with sin is because the Holy Spirit of God cares enough to fight on your behalf to keep you back in the will and the ways of God.
Praise the Lord. You're exactly right about that, Alex. That's very encouraging for us as Christians. You know, you mentioned the word jealousy, and about 4 or 5 years ago, I was able and grateful to be a part of an urban outreach here in Tupelo, and on the back of the church, and the purpose of the theme was Exodus 34:14. It says, do not worship other gods, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. And it was interesting because, like you said, that has a negative connotation in most of society nowadays, the word jealousy. And so being able to help, being a thought-provoking Bible verse, helped answer and provide people to ask questions, and we'll be able to explain that the jealousy that God has towards you is a desire for you, a desire to see you in relationship with Him, a desire to see you walking in light of what He's done for you. So that's just a great illustration you gave there. And then, of course, Paul reiterates that in 2 Corinthians 11:2. He says, for I am a jealous for you among you with a godly jealousy.
Amen. Okay, folks, we've got a break coming up. This is Exploring the Word with Wesley Wildman and yours truly, Alex McFarland. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to continue James 4 plus your Bible questions here live on the American Family Radio Network.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stopped along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800 FAMILIES, option 5, or visit the website twholyland.com.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The statistics are sobering. Over 500 killed in Chicago this year alone. After a violence-filled Labor Day weekend, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said, "It's not a police issue, it's a society issue. People without hope do these kinds of things. You show me a man that doesn't have hope, I'll show you one that's willing to pick up a gun and do anything with it." What the left doesn't realize is that no amount of welfare programs or gun control regulations will give hope. More than 6,000 illegal guns have been confiscated this year in Chicago, yet violence rages. Millions have their stomachs filled through public assistance, yet their souls are empty. There's only one source of true hope, the good news of Christ. May we, His followers, be vigilant in proclaiming that hope to the hopeless in our communities. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. And be sure to tell others about AFR Talk.
The Word of God is spoken. We are changed forever. The power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation. We have been delivered. The Word of God is spoken. We are free.
Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland in Richmond. I will tell you, at 6:30 tonight, I'm going to be at Third Church. That's 600 Forest Avenue in the Richmond area, Third Church. And my website, alexmcfarland.com, has the info. So if you're in the Richmond area, love to see you tonight. I'm going to be talking about Christian worldview. But right now, Wesley Wildman and I are going through James chapter 4. Give you the number here. If you got a pencil, you can write this down, 888-589-8840. And we'll get to your Bible questions in a minute. Wesley, after this kind of prologue, chapter 4 sort of begins warning about the way that the flesh and the spirit struggle against each other. I love verse 6. It says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore God says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." That it's great that God gives us the grace to live for him, to walk with him. But now, one of the great promises, and folks, what a great reality this is. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, that's really good news, isn't it?
Absolutely. If there's any Bible verse for this week, I don't know how you study or how you memorize scripture, maybe every week or every 2 weeks, every month you try to memorize a passage or maybe one verse of scripture. If there's any that you need to memorize this week, it is James chapter 4, verse 7, and I would even submit, I would tie in 7 and 8 and try to memorize both of them, because it goes on to say, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." You opened up with that Bible verse in the first segment on here on Exploring the Word, Alex, and these passages right here are so important for the born-again believer as we walk through and we live in a fallen world, as we live in a world around us that at times maybe seems more often than not as chaotic and uncertain and just hard to live in with all that's going on and the distractions. We understand here in this scripture that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. All through scriptures, a lot in Proverbs, the Bible talks about humility, and Jesus Christ is a perfect example of humility, and there's so much we can learn in the life of Jesus of his humility. Thinking about just his temptation as Satan tempted him on the mountain, knowing that he could have called down legions of angels and all the things that he could done, but with humility, he went to the cross, and there's so much we can learn there. This is a great passage. I just would really encourage you to learn and memorize verses 7 and 8.
Exactly. And folks, Charles Spurgeon, I want to quote Spurgeon in just a minute, but, you know, Wesley, I was reminded of a little story when we're talking about the flesh that struggles against the spirit and just this battle that we every day. I mean, folks, you need to remember, in terms of your Christian walk, it's going to be a struggle. And every day we have to make the choice that we're going to follow after Jesus. There was a little boy acting up in Sunday school and really acting out. And the teacher had to pull him aside. And she said, this little boy, she said, you know, the Lord can make you a better boy. And he said, that's okay. I'm satisfied the way I am. And we shouldn't be satisfied the way we are, should we?
No, absolutely not. We should always be, in fact, not just in our Christian, and not just in our relationship with Jesus, but in every aspect of our life, we should be pursuing excellence. As Christians, Colossians 3:17, Colossians 3:23 talks about how what we do, what our work is on earth, is done unto the Lord, whatever that is, whether that's in our relationship with our spouse, relationship with people at church, or just people that we work with. You know, a lot of us, or most of us, work in an environment that is not necessarily a Christian atmosphere, and we have an opportunity to influence those people around us and exercise humility, and God will exalt that. And we should always be pursuing that type of Christianity in our lives.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about verse 10 when you said that. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, I want to get to verse 11 because verse 11 is huge. But Charles Spurgeon, who we love, Spurgeon lived 100 years ago. He was kind of like if you think of Charles Stanley, David Jeremiah, Billy Graham, all rolled into one. I mean, that was like Spurgeon. But he was preaching a sermon on this, on why we should submit to God. And here's some reasons that Spurgeon, the wise Spurgeon, said. We should submit to God, said Spurgeon, A, because he created us, B, because he knows what's good for us, C, we should submit to God because such submission is necessary to salvation. Number 5, we should submit to God because it's the only way to truly have peace in our heart. But one thing Spurgeon said, And we can unpack it a little bit. Spurgeon said we should submit to God because ultimately resistance to him is futile. Now, every now and then in a movie, somebody will say, we can make this hard or we can make this easy. God is not a bully. Mm-hmm. God is not cruel. God is not a tyrant. God loves you. Wesley, I've said on this show many times, I said, God's will is so wonderful. God's will is really what we would want for ourselves if we only had the wisdom to know it. I mean, and you will either yield yourself to God in this life, or you will yield yourself to God in the next life. Because the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And the way of God is not hard. The way of God is not burdensome. It really is the path of blessing and peace. And that's why James very emphatically is saying, look, submit yourself to God. And verse 9 said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Mm-hmm. In other words, that's conviction for when we realize that we really haven't yielded ourselves to God.
Yes, so out of only 108 verses in James, 60 of those have obligations. Much of those are promises. And this right here, what we just read, 7 and 8 are promises. Alex, I know there's different personalities, there's different lenses we see things in, and we learn in different ways. But for me, Alex, I just love formulas. I love, you know, like the Ten Commandments. You know, you just read them and like those are pretty plain. Well, I love this here where it's a formula for us as we walk through this difficult life, that if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. And draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I just love that.
And I was going to say one thing real quick, though.
Yeah. I want to kind of poke at each other right here for just a second, because when I was growing up, it was called humble. And you're saying humble. Is that a King James thing? What is that?
Oh, no, it's me pronouncing it incorrectly. The H should be silent. I just I haven't got my...
Well, then it's the way I'm mispronouncing it, because I always like to say humble, but it's humble. Is that right?
It is humble. Okay. The H is silent. The H is silent. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, we just don't pronounce as clearly as we should. But think about this. In traveling... It's been my privilege to do a fair amount of counseling with churches and a lot of youth groups. And if there's one thing that will destroy a church, it can destroy a lot of things, but it's cliques.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. In verse 11 of James 4, it says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge." In other words, you don't want to try to pass judgment over God's righteous standard. But here's the thing. In the Greek language, the word speaking evil of one another, it really... implies cliques. The way the language is, it's talking about meeting secretly with somebody in a corner, or a little group gathered secretly whispering information about other people. And honestly, I mean, we know we shouldn't slander each other, and we shouldn't pass on gossip and things like that. And I think every one of us would know what a wedge that can be between people. And there, I mean, there are great ministries and churches that have been so harmed by gossip and slander and backbiting. But really, verse 11 is a verse, the original language is so vivid, that really is a warning against cliques.
Mm-hmm.
And Wesley, I know we have teenagers that listen. Let me say, in your youth group, don't be in a clique. Love everybody equally.
Mm-hmm.
Don't show partiality.
Yeah, favoritism. Yeah,
favoritism. I know. We as Christians, just as Jesus said, "Whosoever will may come," and He loves us unconditionally, and He loves us equally. We really ought to treat people equally, unconditionally, and make your church, and certainly young people, make your youth group a place where whoever walks through that door is going to be loved and received and is going to feel welcome. And verse 11, I think, alludes to that.
You know, it's interesting, Alice, because if you do exactly what you just said, if the students did exactly what you said, they may at first be doing it because it's the right thing to do, and that's a good way to do it. But what you'll see as it develops, that there are people around you that may not look like you or talk like you or walk like you, but they have special, unique gifts that only they have that you don't have, that coming together as a body of Christ, there's so much work and so much good that can be done when we are, and when we don't get stay in cliques, but yet we work together. And I can think of an example at our church locally. I have no idea how to run the boards, the video, or anything like that. There is a 12-year-old kid, or 14, 12 or 14-year-old kid, who can run every type of system and everything. Now, he may not come in with gym shorts and a backwards hat and tennis shoes like I like to wear, but he is excellent when it comes to that, and that's his gift he brings to the table. And so if we were in the cliques and only hung out with those who liked the sports that I liked or wore the same shoes I wore, if that was the case, man, we would be leaving out someone who's totally gifted in an area that helps the church.
Exactly. You know, whenever I need help with my mobile phone, I have to get a middle schooler, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
But D.L. Moody, Bert and I love Dwight Moody. He was up in Chicago, the Moody Memorial Church. And during Moody's time, there were a lot of homeless people. And so somebody was going to Moody's church, and one of the people said, "You know, why do you want to go to that church? They just preach at you and, you know, don't drink and turn away from sin. Why do you want to go to that church?" And this man said, "Because down there at that church, they love a fellow. Everybody wants to feel like they're loved. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to feel like they belong." And, you know, if we would rise to the challenge and speak good of each other and receive each other and really show the love of Jesus, I honestly believe people would be drawn to our churches like a magnet. Chapter 4 closes out, 13 through 17. Really, it's warning against what I would call the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption, because it says, don't say, today or tomorrow we're going into a city and we're going to stay there a year and we're going to buy and sell and make money. Or 13 in the King James says, get gain. Verse 14, a great truth. Whereas you do not know what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. Now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Before we do verse 17, think about that. Wesley, I know you grew up among very, very, very godly people. Oh my goodness, what a family heritage you have, my brother. And I know you know that. But I bet, like myself, a lot of the older people around us, the grown-ups, would always say, if the Lord wills. And, you know, the older I've gotten, I've come to really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. People say,
the creek don't rise.
Yeah, the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise. There you go. Yeah. And now that I've gotten older, I find myself saying, people go, you know, Alex, where are you going to be next week? And I'll say, well, you know, I'm going to be in Dallas or something. I say, I'm going to preach in Texas, Lord willing.
Sure.
And that's not just talk. I mean, that's a reality because, folks, here's the deal. Every day is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get up and have the health to be mobile and to speak or have our family near us that loves us or to have food on the table. I mean, I think James 4, 13 through 16, when mm-hmm. it says, always say, you know, if the Lord wills, we're going to do this or that. What that is, it's a reminder that every breath we draw is a gift from God, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's a story where a young couple was joining a church, and they had joined the church because, for one, they're just incredible leadership there from the pastor, great small groups, great activities for the kids, just a great church, and they're about to join, but before they join, they wanted to ask the pastor, so are you, because they were just so blown away by the pastor, they just assumed that it's just a matter of time for this pastor goes maybe to a bigger or better church, and you know kind of how the process happens sometimes. Well, they asked him, and he looked right in the eye, and he used this passage of Scripture, and he says, as far as I can see in the future, based off my stewardship abilities and all that I've got, and my family's connected, there is no reason at all why I would ever move on to another church. I'm dedicated to this church. But then he said, based off this Bible verse, is what he said in James chapter 3, 13 through 16, he said, I cannot promise you what tomorrow holds, but as far as I can see in the future. And so though he had commitment and he had stewardship with his abilities, he did, with all that said, he was able to still honor this passage of Scripture. Isn't that just a great example?
That's a beautiful example, and we should do that. I mean, we should just learn to wait on the Lord. Psalm says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's been said the stops of a good man. You know, sometimes we are called to, you know, move ahead, but sometimes we're called to just wait on the Lord. Now, I know the break's coming, so I want to get in verse 17. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Hmm.
If we know the right thing to do, we have an obligation to do it. Hey, we're going to get to your calls, 888-589-8840. Give us a call, your Bible questions. Wesley Wildman and I are going to come right back after this break on the American Family Radio Talk Network.
What would happen if things didn't go according to plan in your church? You know, one great preacher of the past used to pray a simple prayer, Lord, hijack this service. Now, he wasn't talking about that kind of planned spontaneity we sometimes try to build into our services. He was talking about the divine moment when God shows up. Jonathan Edwards experienced this in his own church. He said as he was preaching to his people, the conviction of God grew so great that they began to cry out. And they cried out so loudly that he could not even continue preaching. You see, when God shows up, we often have to change our plans. And that's not a bad thing. because it might be that the most tragic thing that can be said about the church in America today is everything goes according to plan. This is Mark Bearden at Revive Faith for OneCry.com.
Art is a learned discipline, and teaching that to children can be fun and easy with DVD collections by artist Barry Stebbing.
It looks kind of like a beautiful sunset sky. See all those colors coming off your brush?
Learn the fundamentals of painting and drawing with a teacher-friendly curriculum.
You don't have to outline everything in your drawings, especially when you do flowers and leaves. You let them breathe and you let light come into them.
Start your DVD collection by Barry Stebbing at afastore.net.
Are you a new listener? Have you just found us and want to find out more about us? AFR.net is the place to go. Information about what's on the air right now or what programs and features are coming up can be found in our on-air schedules. There's easy access to the online store and archives of our programming, so you can discover more encouragement and information than you ever thought possible. Of course, you don't want to forget about our free smartphone app. All of that is just the tip of the iceberg. I told you, the place to go is AFR.net.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, the latest news on the attacks, including analysis from the experts, Tom Joslin, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, and Mark Krikorian, the Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Plus, Sarah Palin is back on The Match Game, and columnist Arnold Allart grades President Obama's UN speech. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain? All your words.
Listen to Exploring the Word on this Tuesday edition. I'm Wesley Wildman. I'm filling in for Pastor Bert Harper, who's on the road. He's doing family revival, so remember him in prayer. For all those that are familiar with Exploring the Word and have been listening to the previous segments and throughout the last year or two or however long you've been listening, you're familiar with Brother Bert, and just continue to pray for him. Great energy, and I'm just so excited to hear what he's going to say about his experience at the family revivals. We just went through James chapter 4, and toward the middle of James chapter 4, we talked about cliques, and we talked about how it's important that we're unified, and we understand that the arm can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And I just wanted to, I was reminded over the break, I felt like the Lord reminded me that here at AFR, at this radio program, right now that you're listening to, that it's not Alex, it's not me that's making this program exist. It's our producer and our call screener, Brent, and Cedra, who's call screener right now. Brent Crilly's our producer, and so it's very important what they do. So just remember them today. It's awesome to see that things behind the scene that people often forget is what makes things great. And so I just want to remind that. Also, I wanted to remind us before we get to your phone calls, we've got Sue, Jeff, Trent, and Steve right here ready to take your phone call. We're excited about that. I wanted to remind our audience, Alex, of our Share-a-thon coming up. Share-a-thon is coming up October the 18th and 20th. And the only reason I wanted to bring that to your attention today is to remind you that we are feed and are energized off of your stories on how we have ministered to you through the work of AFR and through American Family Radio. And so we want you to call in and share your testimony or your story, how AFR has influenced you or has encouraged you or has challenged you in your walk with Christ, and you can call the number 877-867-8893. The number again to call, 877-867-8893. And that's the number to call to let us know how we have blessed you so that you can encourage us here, as the book of Galatians says, that we can continue the good work and not grow weary in doing good. We would love to hear from you. Well, Alex, this is probably what, your favorite part, my favorite part for sure of the program. It's taking phone calls.
It is. We love it. 888-589-8840. Wesley, where are we headed first?
We're headed to Texas. We're going to go to Sue from Texas. Sue, thank you so much for listening to the program today. What's your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. My question is out of John chapter 9, where the blind man was talking to the Pharisees about Jesus, and they were claiming that Jesus was a sinner. But in verse 31, it says that we know that God heareth not sinners. Okay, my question is, would that be appropriate or inappropriate to tell someone today that verse?
Great question. Now, remember, the man is speaking here, and let me just say this, there's a rule that you have to kind of watch for. Not everything that the Bible records does the Bible affirm. And this is the man that is trying to figure out, you know, about this healing. Let me say this, there's one prayer that we know God hears, and that's the prayer of salvation. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And John 6:37, Christ said, the one who comes to me, I will not cast out. I believe God, because he knows everything, we call that omniscience. God does hear all prayers of all people, but God only responds, or he's really only, I hate to say obligated, but God has made a commitment to respond to the cries of his children. Now, you become his child through salvation. So the one prayer that we know God is going to hear and respond to in the affirmative is the salvation prayer. All others, we don't know. I've heard people who said that, you know, years before they got saved, they maybe were in danger of having a car wreck, and they cried out, God help me, or, oh God help me, and they miraculously were spared. I do think God oftentimes intervenes miraculously to keep people alive physically till they could be born spiritually, but by and large, I do think we have to be honest with people that the prayers you want answered are not really going to get answered in the way that you want or think till you first address that most primary thing of all, the prayer of entering into a relationship with Christ.
You know, Sue, that's a really good question, Alex, and that very, very, very well said on your part. I don't have just a whole lot to add to that. I do know that there are places in Scripture where we've provoked God to anger, or that he's given us over to our selfish desires. We've seen that in the book of James, where if we continue on in our sin and we continue on, I don't know if that's necessarily alluding to if we cried out to him or if he heard our prayers, but you got to think, though, that if you, someone who's sinning habitually, how difficult, it's just kind of hard to see God answering a prayer that is unbiblical. I guess that may be the better way to look
sure.
at it.
Sure, God is not going to answer a prayer that is contrary to his nature, his word, or is something evil, you know.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. And that's the best illustration I can give. And that's a great question, though. But we're going to move on, and we'll try to get some more questions in here. Jeff from Louisiana. Jeff, we're excited to take your phone call today. Calling in from Louisiana, aren't you?
Yeah, thank you. My question is Galatians chapter 4, when he says, you know, Abraham had two sons, one from a free woman and one from a bond woman. Now, I know who those two women are, but my question is this. Jacob and Esau was brothers. Now, this feud that's going on, is that between those two? And why is this, you know, confrontation is ever going to end? Or is it just, we just going to wait for the end of the world to end this confrontation? I mean, what is going on with the Middle East with these descendants that cannot get along with one another? And who is going to fix the problem? And I'm going to hang up and listen to you, brothers. Thank you.
Thank you, God, Jeff. Great question. Alex, you want to take that away?
That is a great question. You know, and it really boils down to, you know, Jacob and Esau were the sons of Rebekah, and it boils down to works versus grace. I mean, it really does. I mean, this has been played out in religion versus a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been played out. You could cast it in a lot of ways. Sin versus righteousness, works versus grace, religion versus relationship. Because remember, God called forth Jacob and changed his name to Israel. And through Israel, ultimately the Messiah came. And he asked, how's it going to get resolved? I hate to break it to you, but it's really not. Because human effort and human merit can't really bring peace to this world. When the United Nations was formed many decades ago, there was a few statues and plaques where they said they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, quoting the Bible. But the UN can't bring peace. Political treaties can't bring peace. The only thing that will resolve the feud between Jacob and Esau, between really man getting right with man, will only happen when man gets first right with God. And that's going to happen not through a treaty of peace, but the Prince of Peace. So only when Christ returns. But till then, here's our hope for world peace, that one by one by one, hearts get turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can be an instrument of peace by sharing the gospel of salvation through Jesus. That's the only solution.
Amen. And that's what we're trying to do here every day in American Family Radio, is to point people not to us, but to Jesus, and who has the author of perfection, author of faith. And he does that, and we use his written word to do so. Of course, we have programs that bring you information and a perspective on what's going on in the culture through the eyes of a biblical lens. But in the same time, we also want to remind y'all of what is motivating and encouraging us to do that, and that's the work of the cross. And that's what, and that is that not what has already happened in your life, Alex?
Amen. You know, I was 21 years old, and I was a church member. When I was about 13, I joined Buffalo Presbyterian Church. Good church, good, you know, upbringing. But at 21, I was born again. And, you know, that's how it all, the scales fell from my eyes. And, you know, Wesley, I'm sure I had probably heard the gospel before, but somehow, you know, it went right past me.
Sure.
But at 21, I understood that I could have a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
So that's our message.
That's
folks,
our message.
888-589-8840.
Sorry for interrupting you there, Alex. I was looking at the call screen here and looking at our clock and seeing how much time we get left. I think we're going to be able to get all three of these callers in. Let's go with Steve from North Carolina. Steve, shoot, give it away.
Yeah, start with, I appreciate the program very much.
Thank
you. Secondly, just have AFR raise North Carolina up in their prayers, because we're fighting a spiritual battle down here.
Brother, let me throw this in there. That is really true. When we had, Bert and I were in Fayetteville Friday night. Again, I want to thank the several thousand people in Fayetteville who came out for the prayer rally. But North Carolina is in such a battle. And folks, there, I happen to know there are a number of states watching North Carolina. And if you're in North Carolina, folks, you need to call or email or write the governor, Pat McCrory, and tell him you appreciate. Tell him you're a voter and you appreciate that North Carolina has been standing for morality, because it's a battle. But anyway, continue, my friend.
All right, but my question has to do in Revelation 22:2. I'm doing a Bible study, and I run into the end of this verse that I have not been able to gain understanding exactly what it's about. But the verse is, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There's where I've lost what I don't gain the meaning at the very end, where it says the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations.
Mm. Hey, you know, you want to hear something that's just really beautiful? And I've ruminated on this verse a little bit. So you've got the heavenly city, streets of gold, the river of life. And on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. And the word there, when it says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, it's interesting. The word healing there is a Greek word, therapion, from which we get therapeutic. Isn't that something? And it means literally health-giving. So we get the word therapeutic from there. Now, I believe this is real. John is describing what he saw. And so apparently, you know, those leaves, maybe we're going to eat them. Or maybe just the very presence of them is going to in some way touch us. But let me say this. The tree of life, there's 12 trees, but there's this one tree, the tree of life. Think of the tree of life that was on a mountain called Calvary. That tree is for the healing of the nations, for sure. Revelation 22, John is describing what he saw. I can't promise I know exactly what all this means, but you've got the river of life, you've got the giver of life, and you've got these 12 trees, and their leaves are literally, according to the original language, therapeutic. Much beyond what that means, I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question, Steve. Thank you so much for calling. I always love questions from the book Revelations. Let's move. We've got two callers left. We're going to move to Francis from Georgia. Francis, what kind of question do you have for us today?
No question, but I just want to say thank you for this radio program, and I do enjoy it every afternoon on my way home. It's a great thing that you guys are doing. Keep up the good work.
Praise God. Well, we love phone calls like that, don't we, Alex? Just it fans the flame of us here at the program and doing what we're doing. We prepare for the program and hope that we provide not just good content, but also just a good atmosphere, provide some laughter. And so we try to do that. And thank you for your encouragement. Let's go to Trent from Arkansas. Trent, what kind of question do you have for us today?
Well, I've been doing a little bit of research recently because I started a seminary on at Liberty University Online.
Good.
And we touched on the Epic of Gilgamesh. And I'm a consumer of some content on YouTube. And there's an atheist on YouTube who talks about how the Epic of Gilgamesh puts the last nail in the coffin of the story of Noah having any historical credibility. And he hasn't expounded upon that yet. But I'd like to ask, what is it that makes the Epic of Gilgamesh so convincing to atheists? And how can we be confident that Noah is the deriving story to the Epic of Gilgamesh?
That's a great question. You know, all cultures have what we call a flood narrative. And, you know, Gilgamesh was discovered in the 19th century. You know, what's so funny is it was discovered in a library at Nineveh. And atheists used to say Nineveh didn't even exist till archaeologists found it. But what they're trying to say is because all cultures had a flood narrative, the Bible somehow copied it. False. All cultures have a flood story because there was once a flood. don't let this worry you a bit, my friend. We'll unpack this further on another show.
All right. Well, thank you so much for allowing me, Alex, to be a part of Exploring the Word today. We finish up chapter 4. We'll move on to chapter 5 tomorrow. And if you have any questions, write them down, save them. If you have to, text them and take a screenshot and save them for tomorrow. We'd love to take them. Thank you so much for listening to Exploring the Word. We'll be back tomorrow to finish chapter 5. Have a wonderful afternoon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.